Good evening, everybody. Pastor Denny again here with 15 in Quarantine. It is Wednesday, May 6th. I definitely had to look down to check the date here. But it is Wednesday, May 6th. Another beautiful day in Wisconsin here. Perfect weather to not be too hot, not too cold. And it's been a good sunny day. So I hope your day is going well. And as we wait for a couple people to hopefully chime in, it's interesting the last minute things you might get to do. Right, just as I was typing up my notes that I had on paper for tonight, my son comes in and says, "There's a squirrel caught in the tree." So I walked out real quick, knowing I only had a few minutes left, and I don't know what happened to the squirrel, but it's in the crevice of the tree. It's definitely not stuck, but it looks like it's hurt, and I don't know. So nature will take its course, I guess. So, and then I came back in here, and here I am. So, looks like the message did go out, and people are starting to tune in. So, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get started tonight. Lord, just thank you again for the short time that we have together. We just ask for your blessing upon your word, and more importantly, for your Holy Spirit, that truly a free course in our hearts and our lives, that continue to mold and shape us into your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, let's see here. Oh, jeez. I won't look at, I'll try not to look at the comments. All right. So, in context, we're going to finish up 1 Thessalonians this week. So, between tonight and tomorrow, we'll finish up. But in context of what we are looking at last week and this week, I'll start reading in 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 16. "Rejoice evermore. Pray ever without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." And the verse that we'll be looking at tonight will just be one verse. We're down here to verse 23. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let me straighten this out a little bit. So, sanctify. What is that? To make holy, to be set apart. And we've talked about this many times, and if you've been following us church services and been here at the church, going through Ephesians, we do know that there are three parts to sanctification. Positionally, we are sanctified. Positionally, sealed with the Holy Spirit, we've been declared righteous. Well, we are righteous in God's eyes. When God looks at us, he sees his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The very righteousness of Christ is imputed to our account. He sees us as he sees his Son. So we truly are a son of God, or a daughter of God. And we read that verse in Romans chapter 8 when it talks about the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit, but whenever we pray and we cry out, Abba, Father, like Father, Father, he truly is our Father. And we have that special position because of placing our faith in Christ's faithfulness. But we also know ultimately, too, that permanent sanctification that we do have, that we will be his. That we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, we are permanently his, and that's not going to change. Ephesians talks about that too, that throughout all of eternity we'll receive God's blessings. But practically right now is where Paul talks a lot about sanctification now, the presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. Last Sunday we talked about, and just to recap from my notes a little bit, about having no fellowship with what? Darkness, the unfruitful things that the darkness has, because we're children of light. So have no fellowship, don't partake in that. The unfruitful things is basically the fruit of the flesh. The fruit of the flesh is what? If the unbelievers are spiritually dead, then you go around taking death. How can you produce life? How can you produce something good? You can't. So we're charged to walk as children of light. That's who we are. We're a new creation. And he says, but rather, instead of just walking as children of light, we're also supposed to reprove that those things of the darkness. So, keeping that in mind as we look at this, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Holy means completely to the end. We know positionally we're good, permanently we're good, Now, practically, we need, this is our job. So let's start living for the Lord. But Paul says something unique here. He says, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body. Three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Most people say body, soul, and spirit, but here he has a different order. He says spirit, soul, and body. So let's look at those things. Spirit, 2 Corinthians chapter 7:14 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, this fear of God isn't that where you're scared and trembling, but out of reverence. Kind of like what Romans 12:1-2 says, that it's our reasonable service to present our bodies a living sacrifice for all that he's done already. So here we have our spirit, our soul. Well, I mean, another part of the spirit. 2 Corinthians 6:14, this is still a little recap from last Sunday as well. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? We're light. We are also righteous because we've been declared righteous. So that's why Paul says, walk as children of light. But in this case, in 2 Corinthians 6:4, you should not be yoked together. You should not be participating in things together, in communion and fellowshipping with the unfruitful works of darkness, with darkness and all these other things. Your soul, we already quoted it already, but Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But verse 2, for your soul, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That constant daily struggle of renovating your mind, clearing out your body. I still always think of that verse in Ephesians when Paul's praying that he prayed that Christ may dwell in you, meaning have access to every part of your being. So should we let the Holy Spirit have every part of our being, our soul, body, and spirit? But body, 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Remember Paul in 1 Thessalonians that we already talked about. When he brought the word of God to them, yes, they received the word of God, not as men, not as the word of men, but literally the word of God. But Paul took an account of how he presented God's word. He shared how he did it, so we could also follow. But part of the way he presented it was also to make sure his life, his physical life that can be seen, his body, was also blameless. We talked about that Sunday as well, and even last Monday here at 15 in quarantine, abstaining from all appearance of evil. So Paul's talking about this full scope, that he's praying that God of peace will truly sanctify you wholly, and he will. He'll continually mature you and grow you if you simply choose to walk by faith and not by sight, to truly just have a desire to want to serve the Lord each and every day. Failing in the flesh isn't you screwing up and maybe sinning or falling or stumbling, because we all do. We're not perfect. But the idea is that you're constantly, you're focused on the Lord, striving to walk with him, and every time you fall, you're still in the spirit, you keep going. But never say, shut up, spirit, and look the other way. Don't quench the spirit, as we already talked about. But one thing I want to hit on tonight here is when he says this whole idea of sanctify you wholly, you're both spirit, soul, and body. It's interesting to note too that here we go, we have how we are created. We do have a body, we do have a soul, we do have a spirit. We also see that in God. God is what? A triune God. It is a Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, and one of the things he told the disciples to do in all of Israel is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He didn't say in the names of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost that there's three different people. No. Basically, that verse is like saying, like, baptizing them in the name of God. Who's God? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. 1 John 5:7, for these three bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And all these agree in one. And actually, let me read one other verse, because ever found it. I want to make sure I read that right. But 1 John 5. Yeah, 5:7. And these three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. I read verse 6, which is pretty much the same thing. And we also know that the Word that bears record, and who's the Word? That's Jesus. So the three that bear record is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three separate persons, but one being, God. So 1 John, Romans chapter 1, and this will be the start of our close tonight. But I want you to think about this when I say the following things here. Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." Verse 20 of Romans 1, "For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." So they are what? Without excuse. Keep that in mind, because in nature, you'll have a lot of notable scientists say these things, what I'm about to say, and a lot of noticeable physicists, and I've read through a couple that agree to this. But nature loves, while it's creation, but aka nature, loves the number 3 or 3-in-1. You have three stable particles, proton, neutron, and electron. You also have subatomic levels of them that have quarks and other things, but you can find the number 3 in them as well. But even at those levels, you have three properties to measure: mass, charge, and spin. There's three charges, like what I know, when I plug in something to a wall, what is it? There's a positive, negative, and a neutral. There's three forces in those particles as well: the strong nuclear force, electromagnetic force, and the weak nuclear force. There's also three types of color change: red, blue, green. You could also have red, blue, yellow, but red, blue, green, and make up any color you want. You have the way to look at the whole galaxy, the whole universe. You split that up three basic ways: planets, stars, galaxies. You have three laws of what? Motion. You have three natural laws. You have three laws of physics, chemistry, biology. Medical field, there's different things for joint functions, three things that make that up. Look at our government: legislative, executive, judicial equals our government. Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." The beginning, heaven, earth. The time, matter, space. From the very beginning, there's been three. God reflected his image throughout all of creation, the whole Godhead. The whole creation declares there's a God. So you also have time, matter, space that makes up pretty much everything. Time, present, past, future. Matter, solid, liquid, gas. Space, length, breadth, height. So it's pretty amazing. You can even look at little things too, like an egg that has a shell, a yolk, and a white. Even like water that can be three different states: a liquid, a gas, and a solid. So thinking of all those things, let me read this again. And I shouldn't have turned from here. It is. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." So they are without excuse. So friend, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ on a personal level, all creation, God's word says creation declares the Godhead. We just went down through science and everything throughout all creation, the galaxies, the medical field, the simple things. You see 3-in-1 everywhere you look. And God's word says creation declares there's a God. Shows that the Godhead exists, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That should move you to say, "I want to know that God." And then you end up in God's Word. He says, "We've all sinned, come short of glory, God. There's none righteous, no, not one." But in that same chapter, Romans 3, that says those things, that's saying that you can't ever attain righteousness on your own under the law. He goes on to say, but God displays, God basically is the righteousness is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And by simple faith, he says, and all of them that believe. Let me read it word for word so I don't mess it up here. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of glory, but being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Simple. That if you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ's faithfulness, because he went to the cross and shed his blood for our sins, was buried, he died, he was buried, and rose again the third day. And the Word of God says, if you truly put your faith in him and him alone, God says he declares you righteous. He says you're justified freely, meaning without any cause in and of yourself. No other reason other than you turning and accepting that free gift. He says you're justified. Well, that's pretty nice. But then, as we look here back into 1 Thessalonians where we're at, the very God of peace sanctify you, because here he's talking to believers. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting how he words this, that your spirit, soul, and body, bodies last. In the fleshly world, what do we want to do? We want to use our flesh first. We want to use our five senses first. We have to see, we have to be able to touch or taste or smell, all these different things. Whereas God says, no, we walk by faith and not by sight. So he puts this order here, I believe, for a reason. Your spirit, soul, and then body. When you're spiritually, once you accept Christ, place your faith in him, you've been made alive in him. You're spiritually alive. So now, spiritually speaking comes first, and then when you do that, then you can truly do what Paul says many times, to continually die to the flesh, continually to put off the old man, that old you, because you're a new creation. Now you can walk as children of light. So I encourage you today to do that, to always realize the order of things, that it's not you first, it's God first. You can't depend on yourself. Don't start out physically to go through this process of continually maturing in Christ. First has to be go spiritually first, allowing God spiritually between you and the Holy Spirit first. You go to him and his word. And then that reflects back into your mind, your heart, your soul. And then that will then reflect out and your body will fall in line. If you do it the other way and say, no, I know better, I think I'll try it this way, then you start with your flesh first, the physical body, and then that's going to control your spiritual self, because your body is still going to die one day. You haven't received your glorified body. One day you will. But right now, you're spiritually alive, soul, spirit. Let the flesh go. So, for Friday, we will continue on and finish up 1 Thessalonians, and let that be a challenge to you today. And I keep looking to the Lord for everything. He truly does satisfy, and realizing being truly dependent on him brings true freedom. It's foreign to us, especially as Americans, to be dependent equals freedom, but it truly is in the Lord. When you become dependent in yourself, then you actually live in bondage. So look to the Lord, stay focused on him, and keep living for him. Lord, we just want to thank you for this brief time that we had. We thank you for your word, that we know that we can trust it, that it is a rock, that it is sure, that it is solid, and we can lean on it and trust on it. Thank you for your word that we have, that we can reap from it, and most importantly, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who stepped out of glory for us, shed his innocent blood for us, for our sins. And when he went and presented himself before you, you accepted the payment for sin in full, and God's word, your word, says that you're not accepting sacrifices anymore. You're only accepting that free gift that's imparted to all those that simply believe that what Christ did was for them and for their sins. So thank you for that free gift of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Till again, till next time, till Friday. God bless. Take care.